Morning. Today's daf and tomorrow's Lamed Gimel. We are Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. We're halfway down through the Amud, which is a little bit more to finish up from yesterday's sugya. Should have finished the sugya yesterday, but okay. So the so we are on the heels of the Gemara's discussion. If you go back to the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, If you go back to the Mishnah, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, So the Mishnah made three basic points. Kashya Mizbeach and Kashya Badagabai, so you cannot be Mishani, cannot convert a Kedusha from one Kedusha to another. You can't put it from one category to another category. Once it's in one of the categories, it has to remain in that category. If you remember the Rashi yesterday, Rashi said that even within Kedusha Mizbeach, it also is locked into a category. Once you designate an animal as a Karban Shlamim, it has to remain as a Karban Shlamim. And that was the first point of the Mishnah. Second point of the Mishnah is that you can give it Hekdesh Ilui. Hekdesh Ilui is the idea that even after it being a carbon, I could still monetize the value of what remains in a carbon, what value remains in the carbon. So as we learned the Rashi yesterday, if it's a neder, so therefore there's full recourse against me, and if something happens to the carbon, so that full recourse has a value, and the way Rashi describes it, it's the full value of the animal. If it's a nedava, where I don't have any recourse on the animal, but still, I can make a determination of which kohen I'm going to give it to, either the kohen who's going to offer it himself, or I'm going to give it to the mishmar. Rashi seems to go more like the former, but that also has a value, and so therefore I could monetize that value, and I can be makdish that value. And so this is what Hekdesh Ilui. Yesterday we went through a discussion over here, a really detailed discussion, in terms of this Hekdesh Ilui, can I also give a cherem on top of a karban, charmi kohanim? So yesterday Rav Huna said you can't. Rav Huna gives a distinction between Hekdesh Ilui versus adding a cherem on top of a karban, a cherem kohanim on top of the karban. Rav Huna says you can't do it. But the Gemara, after a couple of rounds of defending Rav Huna, the Gemara ends up rejecting Rav Huna. Ula was of the opinion that you can give a Hekdesh Ilui and a cherem on top of a karban as well. Although yesterday, even according to Ula, we learned that that's not a dinda araisa, that's a dinda rabbanan. That is the opinion of Ula. And so what we're doing over here is just establishing that this is a dinda rabbanan, not a dinda araisa. So if we can pick it up where we left off yesterday, Meisve. It is on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. It's about a third of the way down on the Amud. The Gemara quotes from a braisa. Go back one line. Gufa makdish ola bedek habayis ein ba ela ikuv gizbarim belvad. A person is makdish a carbon ola for bedek habayis. So again, so what he's doing is he's adding on kedusha by monetizing the value, what his value is, to the carbon. And so therefore, even though it's a carbon ola and even though it's already going to be burnt on the mizbeach, if he's makdish el bedek habayis, so ein bo ela ikuv gizbarim belvad. So there is nothing, meaning the gizbarim pick it up, and that's it. And so, and as we pointed out yesterday, there is Hekdesh Ilui, but that's a dinda rabbanan, not a dinda araisa. Meisve, the Gemara challenges by a braisa, makdish ola lebedek habayis aso leshachta ad shetipadeh. So over here, what about the braisa that says that you have to be poti, you have to redeem it, meaning that there is Hekdesh Ilui. So the Gemara says midi rabbanan, so the Gemara says that's rabbinic. So hachanami mistarper, the Gemara says it makes sense, my midiktani seifa im aver veshachta masha aso asui. In fact, the braisa goes on to say that if you shecht it without redeeming it, so what's done is done. Meaning that, okay, yes, you should have been poda, but post facto, b'di'eved, it would be acceptable if you weren't poda. So you see this idea that it has a pidyon and you had to redeem it, that's a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'raisa. Elamai m'd'rabbanan. Ihachi masefo mo'alin shtei me'ilos. So the Gemara says, okay, but there's another section of the braisa. Braisa says that if one were to get benefit from this animal, he'd be violating me'ila not one time, but two times. One time because it's a carbonola. A second time because he was also being makdish, the Hekdesh Ilui, on top of it. That's your second me'ila. So from the braisa, it sounds like you're violating me'ila twice. Now, if you're violating me'ila twice, what does that mean? By definition, that has to mean that's an issur d'oraisa two times over. The original carbon Hekdesh, that's me'ila one time. And then on top of that, the Hekdesh Ilui, that's a second me'ila. And it seems to be operating on d'oraisa level. And v'im d'rabbanan amashtei me'ilos. And if it's only a din de rabban, this Hekdesh Ilui, so then why two me'ilos? So the Gemara says, again, we'll have to read the braisa, u'yilam olba shem me'ilos. Well, it's not that you're actually violating me'ila two times over. It's ke'ilu. It's as if you were violating me'ila two times over. But that second me'ila is not a me'ila min a Torah. It's a me'ila min de rabban. Once the Chachamim acknowledge that Hekdesh Ilui, So, and you get benefit from it. It's ki'ilu, it's as if you violated me'ilah, but the b'raisa did not mean that the second me'ilah is actually din d'oraisa. Okay, adkan. Takes us to the end of that sugya, and now we start the new sugya. New sugya now on the middle of Lamed Beis is in connection to the third statement of the Mishnah. Third statement of the Mishnah yesterday, so I successfully read it. That's all I did. I didn't explain it, and I knew that the Gemara is going to be spending a daf discussing it, a full daf. So that means that this discussion starts right here, at this juncture of the Gemara, and it's going to go all the way to the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Let's reread the Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, Imesu Yikburu. If it dies, so then you bury it. Now, if what dies? Now, remember, the Mishnah was talking about two types of hektesh. It's Kachim Mizbech and Kachim Bedek Abayis. Which was the Mishnah making reference to? If you look back at Rashi in the Mishnah, so Rashi says we're talking about Kachim Mizbeach. If it were to die, the Kachim Mizbeach, so then Yikburu, you have to bury it. You cannot redeem it. Now, why can you not redeem it? So, in a moment, we're going to explore that question. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachim Bedek Abayis, Imesu Yipadu. And Rabbi Shimon says that no, when it comes to Kachim Bedek Abayis, if it dies, you redeem it. Now, he is arguing with the Tanakhama. What exactly is the Tanakhama's position? So that is going to be a big part of today's discussion. In order to really appreciate what we're about to discuss, so let's go back to the Pesukim in the Torah about redemption. All this is found in Perek of Zion of Vayikra. And the Torah says a couple of times, and in fact, in the course of today's daf, we're going to discuss why it says it twice. But the Pasuk says once. I mean, Perek of Zion, Pasuk Yed Aleph. If it's a behemoth tamea, now I'll translate literally, a non-kosher animal, asher lo yakriva mimenu, that you're not offering a carbon l'Hashem, ve'amid es behem lefnei ha'kohen. And what you're going to do is you're going to stand it in front of the kohen. So key word number one, ha'amid. You're going to stand it in front of the kohen. Now the only way the animal can stand is if it's alive. If it's not alive, can't stand. And then the next pasuk, ve'ha'erich ha'kohen osa, bein tovu vein ra, and the Kohen will make an assessment. That's ha'aracha. So the two key words from these two psukim is ha'mada, it has to stand, and ha'aracha. And then the Kohen can evaluate it. Which means that only if the animal can stand, then and only then can the Kohen evaluate it. Bein tov bein ra, ker kacha, Kohen king yeh. Whatever the Kohen's evaluation is, that's when what it's going to be. A second time, by the way, it comes up is towards the end of the perek. Perek of Zayin, Pasuk of Zayin, V'im behema tmea ufada be'erkecha, V'yosef chamishi so Allah, V'im lo yigael v'nimker be'erkecha. And if by a behema tmea, non-kosher animal, and you redeem it, be'erkecha in its erchen. So another time in the Parsha, we have this idea of evaluating the animal so that it can be redeemed. So there is a requirement of hamada ve'haracha, that the animal has to be able to stand in order so that it be redeemed. And so the discussion that we're going to be having in the course of today's daf is the following. This requirement of hamad v'aracha applies to what kind of karbanos? And I'll give you your options, because amongst the Tanaim, there are going to be three opinions. Amongst the Amoraim, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, they're going to argue within the position of the Tanakhama. So there is the Tanakhama, there's Rabbi Shimon. We saw both of them in the Mishnah, but not really fully explicated. Then there is the opinion of Tana de Bei Levi, a Braisa, not recorded in our Mishnah. And within the position of the Chachamim, there is the position of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Now, admittedly, the Gemara Sugya is going to be a little bit tricky, and it'll be a little bit easier to keep pace with the Gemara if we're like super clear with the Shitos of what they state. So I went through the Gemara a number of times already, so I have it pretty clear. But admittedly, the Gemara is going to keep vacillating between the various positions, and so that's what's going to make this particular sugya a little bit complicated. But that's the basic question. Hamad of Arach applies to what and why? And in other words, then the psukim themselves, what indication do they give? We're also going to go over that as well in the course of the Gemara. So let's begin. The Gemara starts off, V'im Mesu Yikbur Amar Rav Yochanan Rabbanan. According to Rav Yochanan, this is his understanding of the Chachamim. Eche Kachim Mizbech Ve'eche Kachim Bedek Abayis. That according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, we'll call them also the Chachamim. So Kachim Mizbech and Kachim Bedek Abayis are both included in Hamad of Aracha. You have to be able to have the animal stand in order for them to be redeemed. Obviously, the requirement of Hamad of Aracha is only for animals, meaning obviously for inanimate objects, there's no requirement of Hamad of Aracha. That point's clear. But doesn't matter, according to Rav Yochanan, whether we're talking about kashim mizbeach, animals that are for kashim mizbeach, or animals that are for kashim betekabais. Now, animals that are kashim for kashim betekabais, how can that be? A number of ways we can get there. Number one, non-kosher animal. A person is maktish, a non-kosher animal. So that animal obviously does not have kedushas mizbeach. It's not going to the mizbeach. That only has kedushas betekabais. Give another example. Let's say the animal is a baal mum. Animal is a baal mum and you're maktish that animal, same thing. Kedushas betekabais, not kedushas. Not kedushas mizbeach. So there are ways for an animal to get to kedushas betekabais. On top of that, let's say the animal is a kosher animal for the mizbeach, and it's also a tamim, and you're maktish it to betekabais. So as we discussed earlier in the Gemara, that the Gemara argues that maybe there's going to be an automatic upgrade. Perhaps that was the opinion of Rava. Not everyone agrees to that. That could be another way that an animal gets to only kedushas betekabais and not to kedushas mizbeach. Anyway, according to Rav Yochanan and his understanding of the Chachamim, both kedushas mizbeach and kedushas betekabais require hamad avaracha. Reish Lakish amar l'Rabban kachi betekabais yu bechlal hamad avaracha kachi mizbeach la yu bechlal hamad avaracha. Reish Lakish's understanding of the Chachamim is that this requirement of hamad avaracha is only for kedushas betekabais, not for kedushas hamizbeach. So far, we had that's the machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish within the position of the Chachamim. Now, within Rav Shimon's position, consensus. Meaning, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish don't dispute what Rabbi Shimon says. Rabbi Shimon says that the requirement of Hamad Varacha is only for a karban, not for Kedushas Betekabais. And there we have agreement between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And, Divrei Hakol, Baal Mum, Ikar Lo Hayu Bechla Hamad Varacha. On top of that, another point of agreement between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish is that if the animal is a baal mum ikaro, if it's blemished before you are makdashit and then you are makdashit, then it would be no different than being makdash a piece of wood. It'd be no different than being makdash a stone. And so therefore, there everyone's in agreement that there is no requirement of hamad varacha if the baal mum precedes its kedusha. Okay. So far we have now laid out in front of us the point, the disagreement amongst the Tanaim. And the disagreement amongst the Amoraim within the position of the Tanakama, and we also have the point where we have agreement. Mind you, by the way, we haven't even discussed the position of Tan de Belevi. That's coming up later in the Daf Tanan. And so, what we're going to do from this point going forward is see which positions fit in the clearest, both in the Mishnah, both in Brisos. Where do these positions extrapolate from the Pesukim in the Torah? All that is going to be explored in the upcoming Gemara. Tonight we start with the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Amar Kachah Betekabayis Shemesu Yipadu. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says that Kachah Betekabayis, if it were to die, so then you could redeem it. Now, it fits in perfectly with the way we presented Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that the requirement of Hamad Varacha is only by Kachah Mizbeach, not by Kachah Betekabayis. And so therefore, by Kachah Betekabayis, Rabbi Shimon allows for its redemption, even though the animal is dead and even though the animal cannot stand. Now, Bisham, the Rabbi Yochanan, Dam, the Rabbanan, Echaz, Echaz, Ayubachal, Amad, Varacha, Hainu, Districh, Rav Shimon, Lefruche, Kachah, Betekabai, Shemesi, Yipadu. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it actually works out very good. Because what is the Chachamim's position? Rabbi Yochanan says the Chachamim's position is Hamad, Varacha requirement is for both Kachah Mizbeach and Kachah Betekabayis. Along comes Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah to say, not by Kachah Betekabayis. So then, perfect. So now you understand the give and take in the Mishnah. But Ella Reish Lakish Lama Le Lefrushe Lema Im Mesu Yipadu. But according to Rabbi Shimon, look, what happens according to Rabbi Shimon? Interesting. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Chachamim's position is that Hamad Varacha is only by Betekabayis, not by Mizbeach. So now, if Rabbi Shimon wants to argue, he only needs to say, you're wrong. Meaning, because according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon is the mirror opposite of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say Hamad Varacha is by Betekabayis, not by Mizbeach. And Rabbi Shimon is literally the mirror opposite. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Hamad Varacha is by Mizbeach, not by Betekabayis. And so that means then that in the Mishnah, all Reish Lakish had to say is, no, you can redeem it. Because there's only one point of contention. So how did you read the Mishnah if you're Reish Lakish? So Amar Lecha Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon, lo hava yada maida amar tanakama. So explains the Gemara that Rabbi Shimon wasn't himself clear as to what exactly was the position of the Chachamim. And he says to Rabbi Shimon as follows. Look, the idea that you can't redeem it. So if we're talking about Kasha Mizbeach, I think you're right. You can't redeem it. But I'm not sure what your position is. But if you agree to Kasha Mizbeach, it can't be redeemed, I agree. So, however, because Kasha Mizbeach, it may see you padu. But by Kasha Mizbeach, if it dies, so then you can redeem it. Okay. So that could be a way of understanding the Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, who wasn't sure what the Chachamim's position was in the Mishnah. Tanya Kavasa to Rav Yochanan, the Gemara now is going to quote a brisa that is fully supportive of Rav Yochanan. Remember, according to Rav Yochanan, the requirement of Hamad of Aracha is both by Kasha Mizbeach and by Kasha Mizbeach. So how do I know that from the following brisa? Now the following brisa happens to be a Sifra. And that piece of information is going to become important. I'll explain why after we go through the brisa. The brisa starts off by quoting the Pasuk in Pasuk Yud Aleph. So the Pasuk reads, now the Gemara here quotes it. The Girsa of the Gemara is somewhat, it needs a little bit of work, but I'm reading from the Pasuk in the Chumash, V'im kol behema, temei asher lo yakrivu mimenu karban la'ashem, v'amidas behema lefnei ha'kohen. So the Pasuk is talking about behema temei. And the Braisa comments on this. Im kol behema temei asher yakrivu mimenu ba'alei mum shiftu akasa medaber. What is the Pasuk talking about? Now, I know the word behemoth tamea means a non-kosher animal. But according to the Sifra, that's not the correct way to understand the Pasuk. Tar Shabbat Peh tells us that even though behemoth tamea normally translates as non-kosher animal, here it means an animal that was blemished. That's what it means. Now, how can I see that? Meaning, okay, it's the Tar Shabbat Peh. But if the Torah says behemoth tamea, why would I interpret that to mean an animal that's a balmum? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because it comes up again later in the Parsha, meaning in Perach of Zion. So, Hare Behemoth Tamea Amur. So there the Torah is talking about a Behemoth Tamea, meaning both in the literal sense and in the way it's to be understood. So, Hamani Mikayim Im Kol Behemoth Tamea. So what do I do now in the first time that the Torah mentions it? It must be referencing something else. Notably, it's talking about a Balmum. So im kol behema asher lo yakriva mimenu karban la'ashem bebalei mum shiyiftu. So it's talking about an animal that was a balmum, that was a blemished animal. Yacho yiftu balmum over. Now what if it is a balmum over? If it's a blemish that is temporary, not permanent. Tamalomer asher lo yakrivu mimenu she'enu kreva kol ikar. It means to say that it cannot be offered at all. Yatzazu she'enu kreva hayom al lamachar, excluding the one that can be offered, not today, but could be offered tomorrow, meaning the balmum over. Meaning, simply, it has to be a balmum kavua. And to that, the Torah says, you have to do hamad avaracha. So, according to this sifra, the correct way to understand the first reference of behema tmea, it's talking about a behema balmum. Now, from here, we need more. In other words, there has to be more deduction, because now, all we've established from the brisa, from the sifra, is that it's talking about an animal that's blemished. That's the way to understand behemoth tamea. And where do we go from here? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes on the top of the Amud, V'amar Rachman Avilei, Hamar Aracha Dichti Basre Ve'emid Ve'erich, V'ha Vaday Kashim Mizbeachi. Now, as Rashi points out over here, by definition, it has to be Kashim Mizbeach. Why? Midirinim Mum Kavua. Because you need a permanent blemish. When this language of permanent blemish, obviously is only relevant to a carbon. The Ibed Kabai to me, Mimnami Mifrike. So, because if it was Kachi Bedekabayas, blemishes, who cares about blemishes? It only has Kedushas Bedekabayas. So the language of Balmum, by definition, means it's Kachi Mizbeach. We still need more. Rashi gives us more. So that means that Kachi Mizbeach requires Hamad Avaracha according to the Chachamim. Now, Rashi is going to argue, and is going to help us understand, not argue, Rashi is going to help us understand. So how do we see that this brisa now is a support for Rav Yochanan? Rashi continues. Daha brisa rabbanin hi dastam sifrahi. Rashi says that this position of the brisa is the position of the Chachamim, not Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because this is sifra. Now what do we know regarding sifra? Stam sifrahi v'stam sifra Rabbi Yehuda. So we know based on the Gemara in Bechoros, we saw the Gemara not so long ago, that when you have anonymous sifra, so that is assigned to the position Rabbi Yehuda. Now, when we talk about Rav Yehuda, who is Rav Yehuda? One of the later Tanaim, who is always the Bar Plukta, he's always the one who argues with Rabbi Shimon. Bar Plukta to Rabbi Shimon. V'hainu k'Rabbi Yochanan. And that means that this Bryce is going like Rav Yochanan, because now let's put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Granted, by the way, this puzzle is a little bit complicated, but put all the pieces together. So the Bryce is telling us that is first of all, the Braisa is a Sifra, and the Braisa is telling us that though, that which has Kedushas Mizbech requires Hamad of Aracha. We know that it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda, the same Rabbi Yehuda who argues on Rabbi Shimon, and so that means that the author of the Braisa is telling us that when I have a carbon Mizbeach requiring Hamad of Aracha, so and it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, so now, what do we know regarding the Chachamim? Certainly by Kachay Bedek Abayis is a requirement of Hamad of Aracha. Rav Yochum and Shlokish both agree to that. But on top of that, also by Kachay Mizbeach, according to the Chachamim, there is a requirement of Hamad of Aracha. So from here now we can...
Kachay Bedek Abayis, you
mean? Huh?
Kachay Bedek
Abayis. Kachay Mizbeach. The Pasuk here is talking about Kachay Mizbeach. So there's also a requirement of Hamad of Aracha. And so therefore this Bryce is clearly articulating the position now of the Chachamim as understood by Rav Yochanan, not by Reish Lakish. Okay, again, I know that was a lot of information. It came at us really quickly, but that is the Gemara's assertion that this Braisa now is supportive of Rav Yochanan and not supportive of the position of Reish Lakish. Okay, fine. So where do we stand right now? So we have a Machlokes, Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish within the position of the Chachamim. Where do the Chachamim require Hamad of Aracha? I'll state it again. According to Rav Yochanan, both categories require Hamad of Aracha. And if the animal cannot stand, i.e., it's dead, you cannot redeem it. According to Reish Lakish, within the position of the Chachamim, so their requirement of Hamad of Aracha is only by Kachay Bedek Abayis, not by Kachay Mizbeach. According to Rabbi Shimon the Tana, Rabbi Shimon says that the requirement of Hamad of Aracha is only by Mizbeach, not by Bedek Abayis. If the animal dies, according to Rabbi Shimon, and it was Kachay Bedek Abayis, it can be redeemed. We saw that in the Mishnah. That is the position of Rabbi Shimon. There's another position coming up, which we're going to see in a short amount of time from now. Amar Gidol Marav, my time at the Reish Lakish. So now, here's what we're going to do. We now have the Pesukim in front of us, and we saw already how the Sifra darshan the Pasuk. How would you darshan the Pasuk if you were Reish Lakish and his understanding of the Chachamim? So Amar Gidol Marav, my time at the Reish Lakish, Amar... Okay, so what is behind the position of Reish Lakish and his understanding of the Chachamim? So that the requirement of Hamad Avaracha is only by Kachay Bedek Abayis and not by Kachay Mizbeach. Amakra, the Pasuk says, V'aricha kohen ersa bein tov u'bein ra. So the Pasuk says that you are going to evaluate the animal whether it's bad or, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Ezo davar she'enu chilek bein tov l'ra. Now, where, in which category, Kachay Mizbeach and Kachay Bedek Abayis, does it not matter whether it is blemished or non-blemished? Kachay Bedek Abayis. Kachay Bedek Abayis, literally, we pay no attention to whether or not the animal is blemished or not, because it only has Kedushas Bedek Abayis, and therefore, we just simply don't care. So, by virtue of that, says Reish Lakish, in his understanding of the Chachamim, the Pasuk, by definition, is talking about Kedushas Bedek Abayis, not Kedushas Mizbeach. V'amakra osa. And on top of that, the Torah says, and you're going to be marich it osa, which always throughout Shas is a miyut. That's a limitation. Which means that this requirement of Hamad of Aracha is only by Kachay Bedek Abayis, not by Kachay Mizbeach. Lemute Kachay Mizbeach. According to Rav Yochanan, what do you do with the word osa? Because according to Rav Yochanan and his understanding of the Chachamim, the requirement of Hamad of Aracha is by both Kachay Mizbeach and Kachay Bedek Abayis. He doesn't want the word osa to be there, but of course it's there. What do you do with it? Rav Yochanan Osa lemu'ute mai lemu'ute ba mo mikaro. So for that, the Osa is coming to tell me that if the animal was blemished before I was even makdish it, so there's no requirement of Hamad of Aracha. Because there, when you're makdish such an animal, it'd be no different than being makdish etzim vavanim. And so therefore, there's no requirement whatsoever ever for Hamad of Aracha. That's what the word Osa is coming to teach me. Ulatan de Levi damar dafil ba mo mikaro bechla Hamad of Aracha, deni Levi akal yu bechla Hamad of Aracha. Ve'afilu b'amo mikaro, ve'chein t'ni levi b'masisa, ve'afilu chay, ve'afilu ofos, t'chziv osa, v'hatziv osa. Now the Gemara finally presents us the position of Tanda Be'levi. Tanda Be'levi, his position is, unilaterally, there's always a requirement of Hamad of Aracha. Whether it's talking about Kachay Bedek Abayis, whether it's talking about Kachay Mizbeach, even if it was an animal with the mum that preceded its Kedusha, there is always going to be a requirement of Hamad of Aracha. That's the position of Tanda Be'levi. Now, it's an outside brisa, it's an outside position. Obviously, it was not recorded in the Mishnah. But still, it's a Tanaitic position. So now, this position, what are you going to do with the word Osa? Because according to Tanda Be'levi, nothing is excluded from Hamad of Aracha. The Gemara concedes, Kasha. Gemara says, yeah, you're right, you know what? I'm going to give you that one. That one's difficult. I don't know what Tan de Levi will do with the word Osa. I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav. We are in the middle of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. I'm sorry, Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. And I'm Rav Yehuda Rav. My Tamid the Rabbi Shimon Damer Kashim Mizbecha Yubachlama Devaracha Kashim Bedek Beis Lo. Lo Hayu. What is Rabbi Shimon's understanding of the Pesukim? Rabbi Shimon says that the requirement of Amad Varacha is only by Karche Mizbeach, not by Karche Bedek Abayis. If by Karche Bedek Abayis the animal were to die, you could still redeem it because there's no requirement of Hamad Varacha by Karche Bedek Abayis. It's only by Karche Mizbeach. How does he understand the Pesukim? Amakra Varicha Kohen Osa Bein Tovu Bein Ra. So he understands the Pesuk in the following manner. The Pesuk says that the Kohen is going to evaluate it, whether it's Tov, whether it's Ra. Ezu Udavar Shechaluk Bein Tov Ubein Ra. Interesting way to look at the very same pasuk. When it says Bein Tov Ubein Ra, we're talking about the category of Kachim where there is a difference whether it's good or whether it's bad. Meaning the way that we originally understood the pasuk Bein Tov Ubein Ra is that it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. And that's why, according to the Chachamim, he understood it to go under the category of Kachim Bedek Abayis. But according to Rabbi Shimon, the way he understands the pasuk, Bein Tov Ubein Ra, where it actually matters, where there's a differentiation, whether it's good or bad. That's, of course, by Kachay Mizbeach, not by Kachay Bedek Abayis. Having Amr Zeh Kachay Mizbeach, V'amakra Osa L'mutei Bedek Abayis. And now that he understands the pasuk to be talking about Kachay Mizbeach. And, of course, he acknowledges the Torah says the word Osa, so now we are defining the pasuk as Kachay Mizbeach, and, of course, we're limiting it to Kachay Mizbeach and not to Kachay Bedek Abayis. Now, if the pasuk is really understood to be understood like Rabbi Shimon, the better syntax of the pasuk would have been Bein Tov Lara, not Bein Tov Bein Ra. Bein Tov Bein Ra sounds much more like the Chachamim, where it doesn't make a difference. If in fact the difference is important, so then the Torah would have said Bein Tov Lara. Kasha, the Gemara acknowledges that would have been the better syntax for Rabbi Shimon, but still, he believes that that's the correct understanding of the Torah. Meisve. The Gemara is going to challenge now from a Braisa. Braisa, Meisu Tamim Yikavru Ubalimum Yipadu. If it dies, now, we know we're talking about something that has Kedusha. Which Kedusha, Kachim Mizbeach versus Kachim Bedek Abayis? Let's hold that, it's an important question, but let's hold that for a moment. So in the Braisa, we start off with the following basic distinction. If it's a Tamim, bury it. If it's a Balmum, you can redeem it. Now, that's only in reference to kachay mizbeach, a carbon. But when it comes to kachay bedek abayis, but if it's kachay bedek abayis, whether it's perfect, whether it's blemished, so it is going to be buried. Rabbi Shimon Omer, echa kachay mizbeach, echa kachay bedek abayis, tamimim yikavru balamumim yipadu. Rabbi Shimon says that whether it's Mizbeach or whether it's Bedek Abayis, if it's perfect, bury it. If it's blemished, you can redeem it. Now, obviously over here, the way the Braisa presents Rabbi Shimon, it's confusing. We're going to come back to that in just a bit. But in the meantime, however, the Chacham's position as presented here in the Braisa makes a very clear distinction between, for the Chachamim, Kachay Mizbeach, Kachay Bedek Abayis. In the Braisa, Kachay Bedek Abayis requires Hamad Varacha, Kachay Mizbeach does not. So that is good for Reish Lakish. That's not good for Rav Yochanan. To Yufta de Rav Yochanan Mereisha. Amalarcha Rav Yochanan Hach Ben Maiskin Beba Mami Karo. So Rav Yochanan says, look, Braisa is not difficult for me. Because the Braisa over here, look, I say that there's a Hamad Varacha requirement for the Chachamim, both by Kachay Mizbeach and Kachay Bedek Abayis. But remember, if it's a Bamum Ikaro, so then the Chachamim would say there is no requirement of Hamad Varacha. What the Braisa here is making reference to is Bamum Ikaro. So Hachanami Mistabra. So because if the Braisa was talking about where you were Maktisha and then it becomes a Bamum, Liflog Rabbi Shimon Allah. Right? Why isn't Rabbi Shimon arguing on that point? Meaning, not only is this clarification going to help Rav Yochanan, it's going to also help our understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Because if we're talking about a standard Kachay Mizbeach where it was we were Maktish it and then it develops a blemish, so then Rabbi Shimon should be arguing on that. We're talking about where it had a mum to begin with. So the Gemara says now, isn't this going to be difficult for Reish Lakish? So because again, according to the opinion of Reish Lakish, within the Shita of the Chachamim, the requirement of Hamada Varacha is only going on, Kachay Bedekabayis, not on Kachay Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish Mukim La Bishakadam Hegdesham Es Mama. So the Gemara says, well, Reish Lakish will just simply turn on this point. Reish Lakish will say, no, that the Brice is talking about where it was Mukdash before it was blemished. So Yahachi Niflog Rabbi Shimon Allah. So the Gemara says, okay, but if that's right, so then remember, according to Reish Lakish, what is Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon is the mirror opposite of the Chachamim. If, in fact, this Brice is talking about a standard carbon where the where you were Makdash it before it became a Balmom, so whatever the Chachamim should say, Rabbi Shimon should be the diametric opposite of that. And that's not the way the Brisa presents. So Reish Lakish mepach apach. So Reish Lakish says, look, as far as I'm concerned, we have a corrupted version of the Brisa. This is not the correct version of the Brisa. And Reish Lakish, the Gemara now is going to give us what Reish Lakish believes is in fact the correct version of the Brisa. Mepach apach v'hachi mosiv v'mechilta achrita. And he has a different mechilta. Interesting. Yesterday we saw the Gemara describing the Brisa using the word Brisa. Today we see the Gemara using the word mechilta to describe a Brisa, but still, he had another Brisa. And so now we're going to have Reish Lakish's version of this Brisa. Mesu, bein tmimim bein malimumim yikavru. If it dies, whether it's perfect or whether it's blemished, you bury it. Bin bamed varmamorim bekache bedek habayis. Now here in this version, we're speaking specifically about kachay bedek habayis of al bekachim. But if it was a carbon, yipadu. So then you're allowed to redeem it. And Rabbi Shimon omer to me yikavru balamom yipadu. And Rabbi Shimon says that if it was perfect, it buried. But if it's a balamom by bedek habayis, you can redeem it. So now in this version of the brisa, Reish Lakish now is extraordinarily happy. Because now in this version of the Brisa comes out now that the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon are literally the mirror images of one another. So to Yuvta de Rav Yochanan miseifa. Now from Rav Yochanan's standpoint, it's a little bit different, difficult. Amlecha Rav Yochanan, achabem maizkinem, bebamo mikaro. And again, Rav Yochanan will say in his defense, oh, it's not talking about a karban where you were makdash and then it becomes the balmom, but rather just the opposite. Hachanami mistarba di itemak bishakadam egdishim as mumma niflog Rabbi Shimon Allah. Because again, the Gemara is repeating the same point. If we were talking about a standard carbon where you were first it had Kedusha, and then it got a Balmom, so then Rabbi Shimon should be arguing on that very point. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? That is a really good point. What? How is Reish Lakish going to respond to that? So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish will tell you that the Brice is dealing where it was a standard carbon and then it got a blemish. So why doesn't Rabbi Shimon argue on that? Misunderstood Rabbi Shimon in the Brisa. Rabbi Shimon was arguing exactly on that point. That's the way he understood the Brisa. Okay, gives me an opportunity to pause and breathe. Now, where do we stand right now? Nothing's changed in terms of the Shitas. The Shitas are going to remain the same throughout the entire Sugya. According to Rav Yochanan, his understanding of the Chachamim, the requirement of Hamada Varacha is going to be both by Kachay Mizbeach and by Kachay Bedek Habayis. According to Reish Lakish, the requirement of Hamada Varacha is only, according to the Chachamim, is only by Kachay Bedek Habayis, not by Kachay Mizbeach. According to Rabbi Shimon, both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that according to Rabbi Shimon, the requirement of Hamada Varacha is only by Karban, not by Bedek Habayis. And then what we saw is that there is another opinion amongst the Tanaim, Tana de Bei Levi, who says that the requirement of Hamada Varacha is in all three categories, both in the category of Kachay Bedek Habayis and Kachay Mizbeach, and even in Kachay Mizbeach where Kadam Mumam is Hekdesham, still there is a requirement of Hamada Varacha. Amalei Rav Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera LeReish Lakish Amar LeRabbanan Kachay Mizbeach LaYu B'Chlal Hamada Varacha VeKatani Kachay Mizbeach Bal Mum Yipadu Umokmin La B'Shekadam Hekdesham Es Mumam. So Rav Yirmiyahu says, I'm going to put together the Shita of Reish Lakish within his understanding of the Chachamim. So let's see how this works out. You have Kachay Mizbeach, which do not have a Hamada Varacha requirement, which means that even after it dies, you can redeem it. And we're talking about a carbon where it first was a carbon, and then it becomes the Baal Mum, and now it dies, and now you're going to redeem it. What are you going to do with this redeemed animal that died on its own? So if it died on its own, it is now a nevela. As such, we can't eat it. The only thing that's going to be done with it after you redeem it is you're going to feed it to your dogs. Remember, we said at the end of the previous parak, you cannot redeem an animal so that the consumer of that animal would be a dog. Ein poden esakashim lachil maklavim. We said at the very end of the sixth parak. So the Gemara says, so now it comes out something really strange. Now that according to Reish Lakish, within the sheet of the Chachamim, there is no Amad of Arach requirement, you could redeem a dead carbon only so that your dog will eat it? That's Rav Yirmiyah's question. So Shema Minah Podim Esakadashim Lahachilam Leklavim. So the Gemara says, Hachim Ben Maiskinim B'Sha'avar V'Shachtan. So the Gemara says, I'll give you an answer. It's not a fundamental answer, but maybe we're talking specifically about a case where you should have redeemed it before it died, but you ended up shechting it first. So you shechted it, and now you're going to redeem it. Kid Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa called Agadashim Shenafal Be'amum V'Shachtam. If you have a carbon where it was blemished and then you shechted it, Rabbi Meir Omer, you cover it. According to Rabbi Meir, you bury it. The Chachamim Omerim, you padu. And the Chachamim say you can redeem it. So here is going to be the circumstance in which you'd be able to redeem the animal again. We can only work within the Shita that there is no requirement of Hamad of Aracha. There is a possibility of redeeming. Isn't going to be redeemed to be eaten by dogs. No, we're talking about a case where we shechted it before we redeemed it. Okay, that's one hurdle. Amli Rav Yirmiyah LeRabbi Zera LeRabbi Shimon Damar Kachet Bedek Abayis Lo Yibachla Hamad of Aracha. So Amai Tamim Mi Kavur. A question which we quite frankly could have asked on the Amud Aleph, but just waited to get to the Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon's position that that by Kachet Bedek Abayis there is no requirement of Hamad of Aracha. So according to Rabbi Shimon, so he said earlier in the Braisa, on the bottom of the previous Amud, that if it died Ba'amum, so go ahead and redeem it. But if it died a Tamimim, so then it is to be buried. Why? If it only is in the category of Kachet Bedek Abayis, so then why don't we redeem that as well? So Mishum Dechazel HaKrava, so the Gemara says that is I'll call it right now a Chumra Midrabanan. The Gemara does not use that expression, and it's not clear-cut that this is a Chumra Midrabanan, but I think it's the easiest way to say it. So, Kiditanya, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, Amat Fis Tamim LeBedek Abayis. A person sets aside a non-blemish animal to Bedek Abayis. Kishay Niftim, when it's redeemed, Einu Niftim El LeMizbeach. So the proceeds of that redemption have to go towards the Mizbeach. Shekol Aroi LeMizbeach, Einu Yosim Yidei Mizbeach LeOlam. Something which is fit for the Mizbeach. So even though you weren't Makdish it as a carbon, but still either it or its proceeds are going to go to the carbon. So here, when I was Makdish an animal to Bedek Abayis, and it died non-blemished, so the reason why it has to be buried and the reason why it can't be redeemed is because it fundamentally should have gone up onto the Mizbech. Amle Rapapa Labai, Vamri La Ravala Rav Yochanan, Demukulam, Babamumi, Kara, Vikuli, Amos, Virale, Debamumi, Kara, Delo, Havi, Bechla, Amada, Varacha. So the Gemara says now, go back to a point that we made at the beginning of the Sugya. And that is that if it is a Babamumi, Kara, everyone agrees there's no requirement of Amada, Varacha. Right, the way I explained it in the beginning, and this is really because Rashi did, is because if it's a Bamo Mikaro, it's no different than being Makdish a stone or a stick. And so therefore there's no requirement of Hamad of Aracha. The Gemara says, I don't know if that's true based on the following. The Gemara now is going to go through the Mishnah Becharos, the explanation of the Mishnah Becharos, and based on a particular explanation of the Mishnah Becharos, it sounds like not everyone's in agreement to this point. So we'll pause over here. Tomorrow I will pick it up right here in this Mishnah Becharos, and we'll finish up the sugya tomorrow. And also tomorrow we'll finish the Mirzah Shem, we'll finish the Masechta as well. Let's just quickly recap. We finished up today the discussion of Hekdesh Ilui, Cherme Kohanim, on top of a carbon, right? That extra value that a carbon has to you. So can you be Makdish it? The answer is yes, you can. Can you be Machrim it? Cherme Kohanim, Machlokus amongst the Amarayim. This Hekdesh Ilui, is it a Din D'Oraisa or Din D'Rabbanan? The Gemara concluded on the tail end of the Sugya, it's a Din D'Rabbanan, not a Din D'Oraisa. The big discussion that occurred over the course of today's daf is the discussion of Hamad of Aracha. The Torah clearly articulates that animals, in order for them to be redeemed, so first of all, it has to be blemished, and secondly, there's a requirement of Hamad of Aracha. Yes, the animal has to stand on its own. If the animal cannot stand, it cannot be redeemed. Once the animal's dead, cannot be redeemed. That's the pasuk in the Torah. And from that point going forward, that was the clarity. And from that point going forward, so then the machlokas. The pasuk is talking about what? Kachim bet kabayis, kachim mizbech. Maybe both. What if it had a bamlam before it was a carbon? Is that going to make a difference? And so the shitas are, according to the chachamim, certainly by kachim bet kabayis, there is a requirement of hamadav aracha. According to the chachamim, also by kachim mizbech, that's a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says both. Reish Lakish says only by kachim bet kabayis, not by kachim mizbech. Then there's a shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is, according to Reish Lakish, just the opposite of the Chachamim. According to Reish Lakish, Kachim Mizbeach has a requirement of Hamad Varacha. Kachim Bet HaKabayis does not have a requirement of Hamad Varacha. Everyone agrees, Balmumi Karo does not have a requirement of Hamad Varacha. When I say everybody, I mean both the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. And there's a third opinion, that's Tana de Beilevi. Tana de Beilevi says that a carbon and Bet HaKabayis, and even if it's kadam mumam es hekte sham, there is always going to be a requirement of hamada v'aracha. That is the opinion of Tan de Beilevi. What we also did this morning is we went through the psukim. How would the chachamim understand the psukim if you're Rav Yochanan? How would the chachamim understand the psukim if you're Reish Lakish? How does Rabbi Shimon understand the psukim? So we went through all that as well. And then on top of that, we also went through a series of brisos which challenge Reish Lakish's understanding of the Chachamim, challenge Rav Yochanan's understanding of the Chachamim, and the Gemara successfully defended both of their positions.